I'm excited for the new year. There's a lot of things that are going to be happening, a lot of things that are going to be taking place, especially for the Gang Warriors. The third Saturday of this month, of this January, we're going to begin some discipleships. Amen. Where's all my warrior disciples at? Come on. That sounded good. I love that. Amen. We're going to be starting some discipleships. I know Brother Sonny, Brother Victor, myself, and also Pastor Tony. We're going to be teaching, amen, on how to be a disciple and what it means to be a disciple, different topics about a disciple. That's going to be taking place. And we've also been talking about doing another Pure Courage. How many of you took Pure Courage last time? One, two, yes, a few of us. There's some of us, amen, and we want to do it again. There's some new faces, some new warriors. Pure Courage is where we learn about dedicating ourselves unto God until marriage, amen. And like the Gang Girls have their passion for purity, the men have their Pure Courage. The girls get their rings, they marry God, amen, and the men get dog tags, amen. That's our vow, amen, to stay pure. So we're gonna get that going as soon as possible. We want to get that going. That way we raise up some pure men that are pure before God, amen. Amen. I'm going to go ahead. We have a lot of time, so I'm going to open up in a word of prayer, and we're going to go ahead and get into our message tonight. And be ready for next week. Amen. We're going to hear from Sister Danielle. I know we said she was going to be on this week, but she's going to be on next week, and be excited for that and invite people. Let's pray. Go ahead and bow your heads tonight. Father, we come before you, my God. We thank you, Lord, for this awesome service that's taking place, God, the worship and everything, Lord. I just pray you would continue to move, my God, through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, Father. I pray every person here tonight would be inspired, my God. They would be excited to serve you, my God. Move in a special way. Father, help us to find our identity in you. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, everybody says amen, amen and amen. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, amen. And how many of you have your Bibles? Lift up your Bibles if you have your Bibles tonight. Praise God. If you find yourself constantly feeling embarrassed every time we say that because you don't have a Bible, maybe it's time to get a Bible. That way you could raise it up. Amen. It's going to be, you'll feel good when you have a Bible to raise up. Tonight, if you're taking notes, I want to title this message, You Are What's in Your Closet. You are what's in your closet. Amen. You can tell a lot about a person by looking in their closet. How many of you have your own little closet space? Yeah. Everybody, right? We have our own little closet space. You got your own little you got your own little personal space right there, right? Like, that's my space. Or maybe you have your own whole closet, or your full closet, a walk-in closet. Some of you probably have a walk-in closet about 5 feet in. You walk in, you got a section just for your shoes, a section just for your jerseys, just for your pants, or whatever it may be. But everybody has a closet, right? A lot of us have a closet. We and that's our, like, personal belongings. That's our spot. Don't touch my spot. Amen. If you look at my closet, I don't have my own little spot. It's like a few of my shirts, and then Faith's shirts, and then Miracle's clothes, and then my wife's clothes. It's just all mixed up. Amen. And I try to, some of you guys maybe put your clothes in the order by colors. I don't know if you guys do that, but I used to do that. I would go from darks to lights, and you do what you want because it's your personal space, right? Some of you guys got messy closets. You don't even care. You don't even hang your clothes up. You just throw them in your closet, and it's all crazy, right? A lot of our closets are different. I bet you if I were to ask you, I want to see all of your guys' closets, you guys would probably be, like, scared and want to lock it up and hide it, right? Or some of you guys would be like, sure, I'm a man of God, I'm a woman of God, it's okay, right? I wouldn't look in the women's closets. I'm talking about the men when I say that, amen? But today what I got right here, amen, is this is a closet right here. This is kind of a closet, amen? And I just, you like I said, you could tell a lot about a person by looking in their closet. So this is the closet of a gang warrior / part gang warrior, part gang girl, amen? So I want to look at some things right here at this closet, and we're going to determine what this person is like by looking at this person's clothes, amen? So first right here, we got, who's this? We got Bob Marley. Okay, so by looking at this, we see that this person loves Bob Marley. Possibly they smoke weed, right? Some people wear Bob Marley just because everybody wears Bob Marley. They don't even smoke weed, but this person likes Bob Marley. Then we got another shirt right here. that's colorful and it has wings like an angel, but skulls in the wings. This person seems confused. With an eagle with more skulls. And a lion, and a saber tooth. A liger. And so this person seems confused, right? And you look at this, this person loves Bob Marley and is also confused. And another, Bob Marley, amen? Some more Bob Marley. We got some more Bob Marley in the house. Okay, so this person, this man right here likes Bob Marley, probably smokes weed and is confused. And you know what I mean? Who knows what they do? So when you look at that, that's what that person is like, right? You guys agree with me? If this person wears this kind of stuff, possibly that's what that person's like. And then we have the girl section right here, right? There's a girl section. Okay? We have a dress shirt to go out, right? This person, this girl right here likes to go out, and you can wear this to pretty much anywhere. Maybe to the club, right? Or maybe just to a fancy restaurant. This person likes to go out a lot. You can tell. This person right here likes to go out. Some more clothes. Short skirt, amen? I'm going to put that down right away. This person does not... I'll let you do the math, amen. I'll let you do the math. And then also another going out shirt, amen. Another shirt going out to go out. So by where you see people who wear this, possibly, you know what I mean? They go out to parties and to clubs. You definitely don't wear this to church, right? You don't wear nothing like that to church. So maybe this person doesn't go to church, or they don't definitely go in that, amen. And there's some other pants up here, but I don't want to touch the girl clothes no more. Amen. So you can see right here. You can see right here what these two people are like. Amen. And so my point is tonight, amen, that we all have an identity. Amen. I want us to understand that we all have an identity. And we all have an identity in Christ Jesus. If you don't know that, you have an identity in Christ Jesus. Your identity is who you are. Like your ID, when you get a state ID or your driver's license, your ID, it's who you are, amen? An ID is who you are. And we all have an identity in Christ Jesus. We have a purpose. We have a belonging. We have a reason to live. We have a calling upon our lives. You have a calling upon your life. You have an identity in Christ Jesus. He's called you. He's placed a purpose upon your life. But the devil will and is trying to destroy that identity that you have. Amen. The devil is out to take your identity. He's out to steal your identity. And if the devil steals your identity, if the devil takes your identity, if he destroys your identity, then the devil has destroyed you. Amen. If the devil is able to take your identity in Christ Jesus, then he's destroying your life. You're on a really quickly turn to the scripture that I want to open with is Romans 8:15. Romans 8:15. And say amen when you get there. And I'm going to just read a few scriptures. The Bible reads like this. It says, "For you did not receive a spirit that makes you begin to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship." Somebody say sonship. "And by him we cry, Abba, Father." Everybody say, Abba, Father. Verse 16, "The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children." Look at your neighbor and tell your neighbor you're a God's child. Look at your other neighbor and say, you're God's child. Say it to yourself. Say, I'm God's child. That's your identity. You're God's child. Verse 17, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory." Amen. So we got to understand that we have an identity in Christ Jesus. You and I have an identity, amen, a purpose, a belonging. We're children of God. God has placed the calling upon your life. God has before you were born, he's called you. He's given you an identity. But the Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy your identity, amen. The devil wants to snatch your identity from you, your purpose, your belonging. Here on earth, he wants to take that from you, the very thing that you need to live, the very thing that you need to get to heaven, amen. The devil wants to take that from you. You're a child of God, and the devil doesn't want you to believe that you have a purpose and you have a calling, whether it's to be a pastor, whether it's to be an evangelist, whether it's to be a youth leader, a gang girl leader, a gang warrior leader, whatever it is, amen, whatever calling you may have, the devil wants to take that from you. The devil doesn't want you to know that you have a calling upon your life. Amen. But nonetheless, you have a calling upon your life. And I just want to share a few things, a few ways that the devil wants to, how the devil can destroy our identity, or how the devil can confuse us of our identity. Because if the devil could take away our identity, or if he can confuse you, then if he could confuse you of who your identity is, then you're not able to find who you are in Christ. Amen. You have a calling, and the devil wants to confuse that. He wants to turn that around. Maybe he can't kill you, but he's going to confuse you. Maybe he can't touch you, but he's going to try to confuse you. Amen. He doesn't want you to know who you are in Christ. Turn your Bibles with me to the book of Luke chapter 8. I want to share a few ways that the devil would confuse us of our identity. Some of us here tonight may ask questions. Man, why am I here on earth? Why has God called me? Have you ever asked that question? Why did you put me here, God? Why am I in this family? Why did you place me where I'm at today? Amen. Some of you ask those questions. Some of you maybe before you even came in, you're like, man, God, why am I here? It's because I want you to understand that the devil wants to take your identity from you. Amen. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. I'm going to read a portion of scripture. It's a little long. It's a passage, and I just want you to bear with me. Amen. Luke chapter 8, verse 5. I'm going to read a few scriptures. The Bible reads like this. It says, "A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. It was trampled on. Verse 6, some fell on rock, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown." When he said this, he called out, talking about Jesus. When he said this, he called out, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Verse 9, his disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing they may not see, though hearing they may not understand." Verse 11, this is the meaning of the parable. So Jesus is about to explain, right? This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Verse 13, those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. Somebody say fall away. Verse 14, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering produce a crop. Amen. Now looking at this passage of scripture, looking at this portion of scripture, it's talking about the word being scattered. Amen. The word of God. We're talking about the word of God here. The word of God, we find our identity in the word of God. Your identity is here in the Bible. Who you are, what God has called you to do, and why God has made you is right here in the word of God. The word of God is your identity. I want you to know that. Amen. That the word of God is who we are. Amen. And we're a part of God's anointed now generation. That's our identity. That's what we're a part of. We're a part of a ministry that was birthed in the heart of God. Amen. And this is where we find our identity, right here in the word of God. And so the Bible talks about ways that the enemy stops the word of God stops the word of God from growing in your heart. Amen. Number one, we see in verse 12, it says that the devil will steal it. Amen. The devil will steal your identity. How do we lose our identity? Number one, the devil will steal it. The devil will steal your identity. The word of God, the seeds were scattered. The word of God was scattered, right? In verse 12. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their heart so that they may not believe and be saved. Amen. The devil will steal your identity from you. How does he do that in your upbringing, the way you grew up? Maybe you grew up and people have, the enemy has used people to tell you something different, tell you things. Maybe they've put you down. You have dreams of who you want to become. God has placed a vision in your heart of what you're meant to do and what you're meant to be. But people come and they laugh at you, or they tease you, and they call you different names, or people force you and they want you to do something else. And you're trying hard to hold on to your vision and your dream that God gave you, but through your upbringing, through the surroundings that you were in, the devil was able to come and take away your identity. He's pushed you in another path, and you're headed towards somewhere that God didn't intend. Amen. God has a path for us. God has created a path for you, but somehow the devil stole your identity, and he pushed you along another path. Amen. Through your upbringing, the devil will steal that from you. The devil will take it from you. He'll confuse us. Amen. He'll steal it by confusing us, by the name calling. It's a big battle in the mind when people call you names and people tell you something different. You're able to take it happens where people call you so many different names. They may call you dumb, or they may call you retarded, or they call you different things, and you take those, and that seed that's planted in your mind, you play with it, and you begin to think maybe that's who you really are, and so you get further and further from God. And the people, maybe they haven't told you that you're a child of God. Maybe growing up, people didn't evangelize to you and tell you that you have a purpose. Maybe they didn't come and pray for you, so you never really knew how to have a relationship with God. But instead, people were telling you things like, man, you can't make it in life, or man, you're called to be a nobody, or you're a nobody. Maybe your teacher has told you different. You're not going to graduate. You're like, something's wrong with you, or maybe they yelled at you. I've had a teacher in my elementary school. It was the most embarrassing day ever. Oh my goodness. It just hit me. I was like 7 years old, man, and I'm right there being a class clown, and you know, I used to have those desks where you open them up and the cubby is right, or the whatever it's called, there's a cubby, right? Or you lift up the desk and your little space, you can have all your crayons and all that stuff, right? I remember she was like checking them. She was checking everybody, making sure it's clean. And mine was just ripped paper, broken crayons, all crazy. Like if you open it, it comes out at you, right? Like, oh, all this mess. And I just remember, I don't remember detail, I don't remember too much, but I remember when she came to my desk, she lifted it open and everything came out. And I just remember, she was like she was a white lady, right? And she was just, I remember she started yelling at me, and she was, she turned red, and she was shaking my desk and throwing everything out, and she embarrassed me, and like, man, she was telling me bad things, all kind of different things, and I felt it embarrassed me. I looked around, people were laughing at me, and it embarrassed me. I felt like, man, what's going on here? And that lady, I don't think she had any hope in me. I don't think she liked me, and I remember this lady. Her name was Miss Woods. That was her name, Miss Woods. I don't know where she's at now, but she scarred me for life, amen. And so the devil will do that. He'll steal your identity from you through name calling. People telling you something that you're not. They're calling you names of who you're not. That's happened to us. That's happened to you maybe. Amen. The devil will do that. Secondly, the devil will lose our identity by not strengthening your roots. Verse 13 says, those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. You lose your identity when you don't build roots in Christ. When you don't dig deep, when you don't build a solid foundation with Jesus, when you don't pray like you should pray, when you don't read like you should read, when you don't build a strong foundation, you're vulnerable to lose your identity in God. When the time of testing comes, when it gets hard, serving God gets hard, you're open to doubt, and you're open to fear, you're open to the devil lying to you and telling you something different, and you're not strengthened in God. A good example is of digging your roots deep or strengthening your foundation with Christ is, you know, when you go to downtown and you see, or like Waikiki, and you see those really tall buildings, real high buildings. You can see it from here. When you look in the town, you see a lot of high buildings, like skyscrapers and things like that. You know, they say when you build a building, the higher it is, the more, what do you call it? They have to dig real deep. That way it's able to hold, right? You can't have a big building. It can't be like real big on top and come down real small, right? Because then if a wind comes, it'll break, or earthquake comes, it'll break. But they have to build a solid foundation. That's like your relationship with God. If you want to become somebody great one day, if you want to one day become a youth leader, one day become a pastor, one day become a great man of God, if you want to be used one day by God, then you're going to have to build a solid foundation in Jesus. You're going to have to dig in deep. You're going to have to read your word. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to know that you're a child of God. The Bible says that you're a co-heir with Christ Jesus, amen. I remember when you read in the book of Matthew, Jesus, right before he went up to heaven, he said, "Don't call me friend no more. Now we're brothers." We're right there with Jesus. You have to understand who you are in God. You're a child of God, and you got to believe it. You're a man and a woman of God, and you got to believe it and not let the devil take that from you, amen. By not strengthening your roots, you will lose your identity. How many of you pray 10 minutes a day? Longer? Or how many of you pray longer than 10 minutes a day? How many of you don't pray 10? No, I don't want to. Praying 10 minutes a day will keep the devil away. Come on, somebody. I'm just saying. I just made that up right now. Praying, but you got to pray. You got to pray. You got to pray. You're going to find your identity in Christ. Maybe you don't know what you're called to do. Maybe you don't know who you're called to be or what the calling. You hear about it, man. God's called you. You hear it from right here. People tell you, man, God has called you. You're called. And you're like, called to do what? You're not going to find out. I don't know what God has called you to do. I can't sit here and tell you that you're going to be this and you're going to be that. I don't have the answer, but Jesus does. And if you want to find the answer, then you got to pray. You got to seek the face of God. You got to ask him, God, what is my calling? Why did you place me here? What am I called to do? Do you want me to go out and be a pastor? Or do you want me to go out and start a Bible study? What do you want me to do? And if you never ask God, you're never going to find out. And you're not going to have a solid foundation in Christ Jesus and your identity and who you are. Amen. Thirdly, another way we're able to lose our identity is by getting caught up in worldly cares. Verse 14, it says, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear. Somebody say hear. But as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. How many of you a lot of times get worried about riches and money sometimes, or you get caught up in wanting to look good all the time, or you get caught up in the materialistic part of the way, like, you know how everybody's all materialistic, and you get caught up in materialism, right? And you just, that's what your life is all about. It's all about fashion. You get caught up in relationships. You get caught up in all these different things that you forget about Jesus. How many of you watch MTV and all that stuff, right? Uh-oh, nobody answered. Good job, you passed the test, amen. If you see MTV, if you watch all those fashion shows and all these different things, people get so caught up in worldly cares. They get so caught up in relationships. People get so caught up in reality TV and wanting to be rich and famous, wanting to have a big fancy car, a big fancy house, wanting to have America's Next Top Model. All the guys are like, that's going to be my wife one day, right? And the girls look at, the men, right? Brad Pitt, and you're like, I'm gonna be married to Brad Pitt one day, right? And you get all excited about it. You get caught up in wanting all of that stuff. You get caught up in worldly desires and worldly cares that you forget about Jesus. You watch TV all the time, and you're constantly watching the Kardashians, not just the girls, but the guys too. Don't even lie, amen. The guys will be watching the Kardashians and different things like that. Or you get caught up in wanting all this glamour, wanting all this jewelry, wanting diamonds and wanting gold and wanting riches that you don't want Jesus no more. What's going on with that? Something's wrong when you have a desire for the worldly things and you don't have a desire for God. Something's wrong with that. Something's wrong if you have a desire for cars, but you don't have a desire to go out and hit the streets. Something's wrong with that, amen. You don't have your identity in Christ. You're losing it. You're getting further and further. People tell you, man, go after this and go after that girl and go after this much money and get this job and do all this and do all that, and they're not telling you about Jesus. That's dangerous, amen. That's hot territory. You don't want to go in that territory. You don't want to step in those boundaries where you're forgetting about Jesus, where you're getting caught up in the worldly cares, where you're getting caught up in relationships. You love your boyfriend more than you love Jesus. You love your girlfriend more than you love Jesus. You're on Facebook. You're looking at Facebook more than you're looking at the Bible. You're talking on the phone more than you're talking to Jesus. Something's wrong with that. You're talking to people and all these different things, and you're not building your relationship with Jesus. You're letting out all your problems to people in the world when you're not pouring out your problems to your leaders and saying, man, how can I get closer to God? All these worldly people, man, they'll tell you stuff like, oh, it's okay, smoke weed and you'll be all right, or drink and you'll be all right, or just go out and party and don't trip. The stress will go away. The worries will go away. And they're not leading you towards God. You're getting caught up in worldly desires. I know we're young. I know. I understand that. I know, but I also know that we go through it too. You're lying if you say you don't go through it. You're lying if you say you don't get tempted. You're lying if you say, I'm cool, I'm straight, don't trip. You're lying. I know we go through it. I know it's easy to get caught up in relationships or even wanting relationships. Even wanting it. Maybe you don't have a relationship. Maybe you're a gang girl and you love God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Maybe you're a gang warrior and you love God. But I know it's easy to get tempted to want a relationship. Man, I want to be in a relationship. And you dwell on it all the time. You begin thinking about it. And you want relationships. You want to find that physical love. You can't get caught up in that. It's going to affect your walk with God. Amen. That's really important. To have a strong walk with God. Don't get caught up in those worldly desires, those worldly cares. The Bible says, amen, they don't mature, they don't grow, they don't do nothing, they don't become nothing. You could serve God like that. You could come to church and know God and you sit here and worship, but your mind is somewhere else. You're not going to go nowhere in life like that. It's a bad habit you're going to pick up. Everything you do is going to be like that. You're not going to focus on nothing. You're not going to succeed in nothing. You're just constantly being distracted because maybe you will go after being a famous movie star or singer, rapper, or whatever. Maybe you'll go after that. But deep down in your heart, you know you should have been a man of God. You know you should have, man, focused in church more. You know you should have built your relationship with God more. So even though you're this famous somebody, you're going to be distracted. You're going to be convicted because you know that's not what you should have been. You should have been a man of God, a woman of God, a pastor, a leader, doing something for God. Amen. It builds bad habits. Don't get caught up in that. Don't get caught up. I'm warning you. Don't get caught up in worldly desires. I'm looking out for you. Don't get caught up in worldly desires as a leader, as a brother, as a friend. Don't get caught up in it. It's easy to get distracted, but it's the devil setting a trap for you. Amen. But instead, God is looking for a people that won't let the devil steal their identity. God is looking for a people that will strengthen their roots. God is looking for a people that won't get caught up in worldly cares, worldly desires. God is looking to the gang, to God's anointed now generation, to stand strong in the midst of trials. God is looking for a young people here in this church that ain't going to give in to the devil and his plans, that ain't going to give in to what the world has to offer. God is looking for a young people that are going to stand for purity. God is looking for the gang, young people that are going to say yes to Jesus and no to the world. God is looking to you to be the one to stand strong for God. God is looking to you when everybody else is doing living in sin. You're living pure for God. God is looking to the gang. Are you going to answer the call tonight? Are you going to be the one that says, I'm going to stand for God? Are you going to be the one that says, man, I'm going to live my life pure. I'm not going to get caught up in glamour, but I'm going to get caught up in Jesus. I'm not going to get caught up in Facebook, but I'm going to get caught up in this book, in the Bible. Are you going to answer the call tonight? That's what I'm talking about. Knowing your identity in God, knowing what you're a part of. You're a part of the gang. You're a part of the baddest ministry, the baddest youth ministry on the planet. You're a part of a ministry, man, that's front line, that's right there in the devil's territory, taking back what he stole from us. Amen. We're not just sitting back chilling doing nothing. We're going about God's business and we're winning souls for God. That's a bad ministry right there, and you're a part of it. You're a child of God, and don't let nobody tell you nothing else. You have a calling upon your life. You've been given the anointing, you've been given the power, you've been given the authority, and you need to use it. Know what you have, know the power you hold in your hands. You're a child of God. You've been called to victory. You're more than a conqueror in Jesus Christ. Amen. If you got God on your side, man, ain't nothing gonna stop you. You could start that Bible study and you could see it blow up. You're gonna blow up that worship ministry. You're gonna start a ministry and it's gonna blow up. Why? Because you got God on your side. You're gonna be able to walk through your school and not go through temptation. Why? Because you got God on your side. You're gonna be able to bring revival to your school. Why? Because you have God on your side. Believe it. You got to know it. You got it. You're able to do it. You could start a Bible study right there in your school and it's going to blow up. You've been anointed for it. You could go up to the craziest person on your block and tell them about Jesus. Why? Because you're anointed. Other people can't do that. Other people will walk up to the craziest person and they will get slapped. But when somebody from Victory Outreach walks up to somebody, to the craziest gangster in the neighborhood, there's something different. It's that anointing that we have. It's that power that God gave us. When you walk up to a crowd full of gangsters, they don't trip on you, huh? Have you guys done it? When you grab the bullhorn, right? And it's like, man, you feel that anointing just fall upon you. You feel that power. Other people can't do that. You may not believe it because you don't see it. You don't even see it because people don't do it, right? People, they're not anointed in that, but. When we do it, the anointing, God gives us that anointing. God has anointed us. We got to walk in that. We got to understand that, amen? I'm going to get ready to bring it to a close. If the keyboard player can make their way, amen. Your identity in Christ is important. We're stepping into a new year. I share this message because we're stepping into a new year, amen, a new beginning. Let the past go. No more of the past. No more. Who cares about your mess ups, your mistakes, your bad habits? You got to let all that go and you got to start strong and know your identity in Christ. That's how you're going to start strong, by knowing who you are in God, knowing that you're a child of God, knowing that you serve a God who's forgivable. He forgives you of your sins. Knowing that God won't hold, he won't hold a grudge against you. God won't hold, if you repent, he won't hold it against you. If you say, God, I come before you and I don't want to live like that no more. I repent. You got to know that he'll forgive you. He'll forgive you. Right there, when I was sitting in worship, I began thinking, worship is a time of spiritual warfare. It's a time of spiritual battle, amen. And when you're there in worship, how many of you sometimes you feel convicted? You feel like, man, I'm a sinner. And during worship, you feel like, man, right? That's a, you know, in worship, you feel, and when the presence of God comes, you feel convicted. That's normal. It's good to feel convicted. But a lot of times where I think we go wrong is sometimes because conviction comes so that we can repent. When you feel convicted, God is showing you, you know, God is showing you what you need to change or what you need to do different so we can repent. You're feeling convicted for something and the Spirit of God brings that up so you can repent and turn from it. But a lot of times I think we go wrong where we feel convicted, but we forget that we serve a forgiving God and we may hold that guilt against ourselves. A lot of times during worship, you don't want to lift your hands because you feel like, man, maybe God can't forgive me, or maybe you just can't forgive yourself. You got to know the God that you serve, amen, that he won't hold nothing. You got to forgive yourself, and you got to just be able to know that you, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom, amen. You've been set free. You've been set free. Real quickly, in closing, I want to close with this, amen. Right there in Luke chapter 9. I'm on a good one in Luke right now. I'm really studying Luke. Amen. So we're going to hear a lot more Luke. Amen. Luke 9:57. Luke chapter 9 verse 57. And it's just this real quick story I want to read about three people. Amen. There's that little right before the scripture of 57. It says the cost of following Jesus. It's a story about three half-hearted followers. And it kind of reminds me of this generation. I'm going to read. It says, as they were walking along the road, a young man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Then he said to another man, follow me. Jesus went to somebody, he said, follow me. But the man replied, Lord, first let me go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Verse 61, still another said, I will follow you. Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." This is a story about three half-hearted followers, people who didn't want to answer the call of God right away, but they went and they said, Let me finish what I'm doing real quick, or let me go back and handle some stuff, and then I'll come and serve you. And it reminds me a lot of our generation, and it hurts me to say this. We're seeing the people raised up that are they think it's okay to just serve God half-heartedly. We know people like that. Don't lie. You know people in school who they say it all the time. I know Jesus. I love Jesus. Bless Jesus, right? Bless Jesus. But they don't. But their actions show different. We're seeing a generation raised up where they think it's okay to serve God half-heartedly, and it hurts me to say that. But let me tell you something. God is looking to the gang. God is looking to you. God is looking to our ministry. God is looking to the gang right here on this island. He placed us here for a purpose, not to be a half-hearted follower, not to be somebody who only serves God part of the way. God has called you here to this ministry to be an example to the rest of the island. God has placed you in this ministry because he knows the potential you have to be somebody great. God placed you here because you have a calling upon your life, and God is looking to us to answer that call. Will you answer that call? Will you be the one to say, I'm not going to be a half-hearted follower, but I'm not going to go along with the rest of this generation, but I'm going to stand my ground, and I'm going to stand for God with all of my heart, with everything that I got. Are you going to answer the call tonight? Let's all stand. Are you going to be the one that says, God, I'm going to serve you with everything that I got. I'm going to be that gang warrior that gives God everything I got. And I'm going to be that gang girl that gives God everything that I have. I'm going to give you everything that I have. Are you going to answer that call? Are you going to stand for this generation? Are you going to start this new year strong? Where you don't need you don't need to come in weak, but you're coming in strong. Are you going to answer that call? If that's you tonight, I want you to come forth, and I want you to seek the face of God and ask for that strength tonight.